Amen.
Thank you, Chief.
Please go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. I have some good news. I was looking at the shelf just at the entranceway of the sanctuary, and it turns out they have some Tagalog Bibles, some Filipino language. There's five of them back there, so don't fight over them, please. But praise the Lord, we have English, Japanese, and Tagalog. So if you need a Tagalog Bible, if you want a Tagalog Bible, we have some. So only five of them. So I think most of our Filipino people are Ilocano, though, so I don't know if that helps. But anyway. Before I start, I want to praise the Lord. Short testimony. I went to the doctor last Tuesday, and I got an MRI examination, and they found that there's a disc in my neck, tsikambam, was slipped, and so protruding, and that's what makes my arm tingle a little bit. So praise the Lord that I know what the problem is. And so the doctor prescribed a neck brace for me to correct my posture, and I'm getting some physical therapy to help my neck become stronger and some medicine. So praise God. The doctors had wisdom, and I know what the problem is. Please pray for my recovery on my neck. Yoroshiku onegaishimasu. Oh, also, excuse me, one more prayer request. If you could please remember, I'm going to take a driving test on Tuesday. Tuesday I'll have a driving test to get my learner's permit. So it's very strict in Japan, so please keep me in prayer. All right, let's go ahead and begin our message. And you have it in your Bibles there, but also we'll have it up on the screen, but we're going to read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is the Lord speaking to Abraham. And let's read it together. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." Amen. I came to Japan in 1999, so 2009 marks my 10th year in this country. Now, I can tell you that when I arrived here way back then, 10 years ago, never in my wildest dreams or greatest visions did I ever think that 10 years later I would be in this country still, let alone, you know, doing what I'm doing, living where I'm living, you know, and riding what I'm riding, a motorcycle every day to work. But here I am, and here we are, and maybe you felt the same way about your situation 10 years ago, about where you are now. There's no way you have ever dreamed of being here. Now, through these past 10 years, I've seen lots of ups and downs. I've enjoyed lots of celebrations. I've wept some tears. But through it all, I can say with 100% confidence and complete honesty that God is full of mercy and rich in grace. God is forever faithful and true. And there's no doubt in my mind that I worship and I serve the one true, holy God. Now, throughout this year, what I would like for us to focus on in our time in the Word, in the Scriptures together, is something that has been in my heart and in my mind brewing and stewing over the last 10 years. And what I'd like to spend time preaching and teaching on throughout this year is what I feel God has been working on in my life throughout my time here. So what I'm going to be preaching on this year is something that I feel God's been allowing me to live throughout this last 10 years. And Proverbs says that silver is purified in the crucible, and the furnace is for gold. But the Lord tests the heart of every man. And Job says that, you know, the Lord knows the way that I take. And when he's finished with me, I'm going to come out as pure gold. Brothers and sisters, I feel that I have found what I believe to be absolute 100% pure gold. I believe that I have found the truth that is worth more than all the riches, all the status and stature that this world can give. And what I found is what I'd like to share with you throughout this year. And that is this: that no matter who you are, whatever your circumstance, wherever you come from, no matter whether you're Japanese, you're American, you're Filipino, you're Canadian, you're Kiwi, you're Aussie, or you're English, no matter what your personal history is, no matter what you've done, or no matter what's been done to you, you will never lack anything in your life. Nothing of what you need. And you will find the deepest joy and the richest peace in your life as long as your life is in the will of God. As long as you follow God's plan for your life, you will not have anything that you will lack in your life. And not only that, but you'll be so richly blessed that your life will be a blessing and an influence to those around you wherever you go. If you stay faithful to the call of God in your life, God will be your closest friend, your greatest ally, your comforter, your peace, your leader, your teacher, your strength. And not only will you be blessed, but all of Hiroshima, all of Kure, all of Japan, all of the world will be blessed through you. That's the truth that I believe I've found, that God has shown me. And let me show you what I mean today by that in our scripture today. In Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, the Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country and your people and your father's household." In this passage, we find the key to understanding everything that happens in the life of the man that we call Abraham. And now we know from Acts chapter 7 that when Abraham heard this message from God, he was still in his home country in Ur, which is now modern-day Iraq. So he's in his home country, and God tells him to pack up his things, to leave his homeland, to go to a new place. That's no small thing for someone like Abraham. Now, for some of us, maybe that's no problem. God tells us, hey, pack up your things, you're going to another country. Now, for me, I know that wasn't a big deal. For me to come here was not a major sacrifice in my life. I was sad when I left California to come here, but it wasn't such a big problem for me. And maybe it wasn't for some of you, but maybe it was. But for Abraham, it was a very big deal. How do we know this? Because if you were to go to, if you continue to read the story in chapter 24, when Abraham has a son and he wants to find a wife for his son, he says, "I don't want to find a wife for him in this new land. I want him to get a wife from my homeland, from my home country. That's how important his homeland was for him. By that time, when he had his son, he was so rich. He was already wealthy. God had blessed him. And he could get any woman he wanted for his son from the people in that land. Anybody would be happy to give their daughter to be the wife of his son. But Abraham's heritage, his people, his father's household, was so important to him that he wanted to go way out of his way in order to find a wife for his son. Now, if it was so important for his son to be with someone from his own people, how important was it for Abraham to be in his own home country? But God was saying, I want you to give up everything that's so close to you and so dear to you. And that's what we're going to find. As we want to give our life to God, to do God's will, God will ask us to give up that one thing that is the most important in our life. It's a sacrifice. And it's not just what's in our life now that's most important. You know, sometimes later on in our life, a different thing is important. For example, when Abraham was later on in his life, he finally got the son he wanted, the son Isaac. He finally has his child, the one he never had before. God even tells him to sacrifice him to test and see if he would be willing to obey him. God asks everything that is important from us. God is not going to ask you for what you don't care about. He's going to ask you for that one thing that you care about so deeply, and he wants to see if you're willing to give it up to him. You can ask the rich young man in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 10 or 13. 19, Mark chapter 10, where a man comes up to him and he says, Lord, I want to go to heaven. What should I do? And Jesus says, well, follow all the commandments. And he says, well, yeah, I did all of that. And he says, well, there's one thing that you need to do. You need to sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Why? Because that man's treasure, his possessions, was his number one thing. And Jesus knew, if he's going to follow me, he has to give up the number one thing in his life. You can ask Peter when God called him. He said, Peter, I want you to give up your fishing business and follow me and you'll become fishers of men. And Peter had to give up his business, his hopes of being rich and wealthy as a businessman, his identity as a fisherman to follow God. The number one thing. You can ask James and John, who were the sons of Zebedee. That name, they were known as being the sons of Zebedee. The name, their status, their reputation as the sons of Zebedee. Jesus says, you got to leave your father. If that's so important to you, you leave your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, and you come and follow me. God wants sacrifice when he wants us to follow him. There's a song by a hip-hop group that I love. It's called Sacrifice, and it says, I'll tell you one lesson I've learned. If you want to reach something in life, you're not going to get it unless you give a little bit of sacrifice. Oh, sometimes before you smile, you've got to cry. But you need a heart that's filled with music, and if you use it, you can fly. God wants sacrifice from us. Now, when you commit your life to God and to the will of God, it's not for nothing. The reason why God wants you to sacrifice something is found in verse 2. If you read there, he says that God is willing to bless him and to give him his own nation, his own name, his own people out of his descendants. And though it will cost him the most important thing in his life, it will reward him all the more, something even greater. Now, as you read the rest of the story and on into the rest of the Bible, we see that God was faithful to his promise by raising up a nation of Israel through the descendants of Abram. But it was not through Israel itself that God blessed the world. That was the original plan, but Israel kept messing up. And so God was still faithful to his promise to Abraham, but it wasn't through Israel. It was through the descendant found in Israel, the one who came out of Israel, his name Jesus Christ. So ultimately, the blessing that's promised here finds its biggest and ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ. That's where the blessing is. Now, God's plan was not only to bless Abraham and those around him, but to give something to the whole world. And in Jesus Christ, it says, all the peoples of the earth are now blessed. How? Because now they have a chance to know the same God that Abraham knew. In Jesus Christ, we're able to have the same blessing that Abraham had. And it's not that that the world wants to know God, but it's that God wants to know them. And so he gave us Jesus Christ. And it says there in 1 Timothy, oh boy, that, oh, oh, that's not going to be pretty. Can you guys see that? Got a lot of scriptures I want to show you, but we got to fix this. That's okay. I'm good. Yeah. I got to move on. We got to move on. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. So it's because of Jesus Christ that, you know, you don't have to be a direct descendant of Abraham. You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be born in Israel. But because of Jesus Christ, you can still know Abraham's God. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. And the scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but to you and your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. And there is no Jew, no Greek, slave or free, no male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's in Galatians chapter 3. And then Romans chapter 8. Therefore, because of Jesus Christ, we know that we can believe that God's promise to Abraham is God's promise to us. We know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him and be called according to his purpose. If God is for us, then who can be against us? Now I want to take a minute and pause here for a moment and talk about our theme as an English service this year. For Mitaki International English Service, what we're going to call 2009 is the character year. Excuse me. Hopefully this one will work better. The character year. And our theme is character year, meaning that we're going to spend our time examining the lives of various characters that we find in the Bible, and we're going to extract from their stories truths that will help us and guide us and provide insight into our lives throughout the year. Now, I'd like to do this for a couple of reasons. The first one is, like I said a minute ago, this is something that I believe has been brewing and stewing inside of me for the past 10 years. And I want to just explain briefly what I mean by that. Over the last 10 years, I've worked at two different schools, and this year I'm about to start on my third and hopefully my last school. And I've had more than 10 different bosses, managers, supervisors, and I've had countless co-workers. I've gone from entry-level positions to the highest position for a foreigner that my company could offer. And even I've been, they even made a new position just so that I could fill it, just for me to enter into that. Now, I'm not trying to you know, brag or boast about my resume or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that through all of that, whenever I found myself in a new office or with a new boss or teaching in a different situation, or if I was going through some kind of struggle in my workplace or in my career, if I was at a crossroads of what should I do with my life here, God always brought me back to some characters, to some stories that I found in the Bible that showed me insight that I could take from their story and see how God is working in my story, in my life, through the character studies that I found. And I knew that God put their stories in the Bible so that people like us can read and find encouragement and faith and keep moving on. It says in Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1 and 3, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us here in this city, in this place. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Those stories, those characters, are what I found to have inspired me and kept me going and kept me from getting weary and losing heart as I moved from different boss to different office to different school, different challenges. Now, we're going to be studying a lot of characters. And so what kind of characters are we going to look at? Well, this month we're going to look at Abraham and his story. In February we'll look at Isaac and Jacob. In March we'll look at Joseph. Through April we'll look at Joshua, Ezra, Nehemiah. In May we'll take a look at Daniel, that amazing story. And in June, we'll finish up the Old Testament characters with Ruth and Naomi, Mordecai, and Esther. Now, if you notice, if you look at these characters, what do they all have in common? Well, they're in the Old Testament, yes. But if you also notice, they are all foreigners. They were all strangers, aliens in the land that they were living in at the time. And that was what really encouraged me as I read these stories. Me as an alien, as a stranger in this land, to find encouragement in that. Now, some of us here are not foreigners. Some of us here are Japanese, and we're not aliens. But an interesting thing is, if you look, in 1 Peter, Peter calls all of us who believe in Jesus Christ strangers, aliens. He says, anyone following Christ is a stranger in the world. Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear, as aliens, strangers in the world. And Hebrews chapter 11 says, all these people that I just pointed to, were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Now, Paul turns the tables on the whole idea of being an alien and a stranger. And he says in Ephesians, you know, consequently, if you are in the family of God, if you call yourself a Christian and you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you are no longer a foreigner or an alien, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Saying that basically being a foreigner to the world means being a citizen of heaven, a member of God's family. And brothers and sisters, I would rather be a stranger, a foreigner, an alien to the world, and so be a citizen of heaven with God's people and God's family. You can keep your rights, all of your privileges, all of that. Just give me Jesus Christ and his home prepared for me in heaven. So we're going to study characters in the Bible who were foreigners and strangers in the land. But what we're going to find is that the God who was with them, blessing them, protecting them, providing for them, guiding them, and using them, is the same God who is with us in our situation. We're going to see that the same God who gave Joseph success is the same God who gives us success. The same God who protected Daniel in his situation is the same God who gives us protection in our situation. The same God who gave Joshua victory as he moved into the land of Canaan is the same God who gives us power to live in victory. The same God who, despite Mordecai and Esther, their disobedience to God, is the same God who is still faithful to us despite our mistakes, our unfaithfulness. God is still faithful to his call. In our life. Now, as we look at each character, what we're going to find is that each character had a kind of truth, had a principle in their life that was expressed in Scripture, that kind of guided them. It was their, as they're moving through the land, it was sort of their compass, the compass verse. That's what we're going to call it. Now, when I was a child, my family and I, we would take a road trip. We would drive from Los Angeles to Canada, from Vancouver to Fort McMurray to Edmonton, all the way to Regina, Saskatchewan. We would just drive and drive. And my grandfather, he would put on the dashboard this compass. My grandfather had maps, and he would mark them all out, but he just felt like he needed a compass on his dashboard in his car. And oftentimes, I would sit next to him as the navigator. And whenever we would get off of the freeway, you know, I would always see the compass kind of turning left and right. And I always thought, wow, that's so cool. Wherever I'm pointing, I know what direction I'm going in. And if I'm going in this direction and the map says I should be going north, this thing says I'm going west. And so when Grandpa turns the car to the north, oh, we're going the right way. And it was the compass that like just kept me secure. Help me know I was going in the right direction. And what we'll find in each character's life is a verse, is a truth from Scripture that has served as a compass for them. And Abram's compass was this promise in chapter 12, particularly verses 2 and 3. Now, Abram's promise in verse 2 is not ours in the way that Abram saw it. We're not here to, you know, start a new nation of foreigners or something like that and take over the land of Japan. Not in that way. Our compass is in verse 3, where it says that God will bless those who blessed him and curse those who curse him. And I'm just going to spend 1 minute explaining that to bless, bless him means that he's going to have a life that's just rich, like the word, you know, from when you take uranium and plutonium and you enrich it, make it more powerful and have a larger impact. That's what God says he'll do to our life, is that he will bless it and multiply it and make it have an impact. Not give us things, not make us rich, not give us status. We don't have to be a rich person or a person of high status to be blessed by God. That's not what he means. But anyone who treated, what God was saying to Abram is, anybody who treats you with kindness, with respect, with goodness, with favor, he's treating me with favor, kindness, and respect. So I'm going to bless him. And in the other way, anyone who even looks at you the wrong way, who thinks of you the wrong way, he's not thinking of you the wrong way. He's thinking of me the wrong way, because I'm on your side. Brothers and sisters, I want that truth to be really just a compass truth in our life. That here we are, we don't have to be the president of companies or you know, the headmasters at schools or whatever. But because God is in our life, we don't have to worry about whether or not people are treating us the right way or speaking to us the right way, because God is on our side. Whoever curses us, God will curse. Not us. Notice it doesn't say we are going to curse the people who curse us. It says God is going to curse the people who curses us. That means trouble for them. And, you know, in our lives, we want our own revenge. If somebody treats us the wrong way, especially if we think they're treating us the wrong way if we're a foreigner, oh man, you don't know who you're messing with. Do you know who I am in my own country? Do you know where I come from? I can speak more languages than you can, at least one more. How can you talk to me like that? Treat me that way? Who do you think you are? And we have this impulse in us to exact our own revenge, to make them say sorry. But God is saying, my child, if they're messing with you, they're messing with me. And you do not need to be trying to get your revenge on them. In fact, you need to pray for them. Because if they have me coming after them, they are in trouble. God is a God of love and mercy and grace and peace, forgiveness. And the Bible shows that clearly. But God also knows how to war, how to fight, how to curse people and bring them down. You read Exodus and you see what he did to Pharaoh. You read Judges and you see what he did to the people of Canaan. He knows how to fight for his people. And so the people who are messing with you are messing with God. And they are in trouble. God is not going to let them win against you. Maybe they're in a season of winning against you. But God does not let his children lose, because he will curse those who curse you. And so Jesus says, man, you got to pray for them, because they are in trouble. Pray for your enemies. They need to repent. They need to come back to treating you the right way. It's not up to you. It's up to God. So that's what God is saying. And we're going to see that as we look at Abram's life in the next 3 weeks, how God blesses those who bless Abram, and God curses those who curse him. That's just the meditation that I wanted to share with us today. Finally, it says in Galatians chapter 3, once again, consider Abram. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. That is us. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abram. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So I pray that this week, we would have this scripture in our hearts. God, you are with me. I know that you're blessing those who bless me. And I'm going to leave it to you to take care of those who curse me, who treat me the wrong way. I pray that we have a character year, a year just blessed by God in great ways. So would you pray with me? I'm going to ask Braden to come on up as prepares for our last song. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to ask you to let your voice be heard by all of us here, whether alien, stranger, or native, to know that you have fulfilled your promise through Jesus Christ. And through him, we know that we are the children of Abram, that we are the children of blessing, and that in the same way that you are with Abram, you are with us. Help us, God, to know this truth and to walk in this truth, even this week. And for that, we will thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.